The transfer portal, everybody knows, it giveth and taketh away. It's becoming a bigger part of college sports. All three teams in the Triangle in the last 27 hours have had to deal with some part of their future hitting the portal. Now, yesterday we talked about, and we will continue to talk about, there is some breaking news here. Mark Mitchell from Duke and Seth Trimble from UNC went into the portal yesterday. Cam Woods of NC State into the portal, according to Pack Pride, just less than 15 minutes ago. On Three Sports also, it's been confirmed all over the place. Here's the takeaway. You have to be prepared for any player on your team to decide it's time to move on. A two-year starter that averages double-digit points for an Elite Eight team? Portal. The number a bench player, but the third leading vote getter for ACC Sixth Man of the Year, who could be expected to take on a bigger role next year? Portal. What about a player who just portaled into your school and wasn't even eligible at the beginning of the year, became eligible, and has an opportunity to grow into a bigger role? Portal. Now, without names, I just described Mark Mitchell at Duke, Seth Trimble at UNC, and Cam Woods at NC State. The coaches that are adapting quicker are better set up for success because these situations are going to be on your doorstep whether you want to acknowledge it or not. So the irony of this all is when you talk John Shire, when you talk Hubert Davis, when you talk Kevin Keats, when you talk about any coach, we're so tempted to say, how great are they at player development? We're so tempted to say, how great are they at talent evaluation? We're so tempted to say, how great are they at in-game X's and O's, substitutions? How great are they at drawing up plays and sets? Actually, the UConn National Championship against Purdue was one of the few times I saw Twitter getting really excited about, like, plays. They're talking about how awesome the scheme was for UConn and how cutters were wide open and they always seemed one step ahead of Purdue. We think about coaching so much in those traditional ways. I'm starting to think that one of, if not the most important thing a coach can do is not panic and adjust in team building. You're going to think you have your roster built in a certain way, and you're going to think your job is done. And for a century of college basketball, you would have been. Right, you got commitments from the recruits to fill the positions that you need, and you have these guys returning. You would have been cool taking the wife and kids on a vacation. Right, when everybody enrolls in school and gets back for summer workouts, I'll be here. But the job is done. Not anymore. Now it's cool. I like the way my team is. Oh wait, we got to replace our starting power forward. Cool. I like the way our team is. Oh wait, we got to replace our sixth man from last year. Cool, I like the way our team is. Or even, cool, I like the plan we have for how to assemble our team. Wait, scrap that plan. A guy I was expecting to have a bigger role next year isn't going to be here.
Yep. Yeah, one of my starters for the last 2 years is gone.
It's that quick. So who do you trust more to scramble out of those three coaches is in a lot of ways who you think's program has the brighter future. Because there's more coming. I was going to say just now, next offseason there's going to be more departures, and they're going to have to scramble again. I'm not even going to – there's more coming this year. There are players that will hit the portal that we haven't heard yet from schools in the Triangle. I'm almost guaranteed of it, and that's without insider information. That's not me saying, like, I talked to a sophomore. I'm saying just look around.
I mean, it's almost inevitable.
It's almost inevitable. Did you just snap?
Yes.
All right. That was to show how quick it could be. Is that what that was? Okay.
Like Thanos.
I didn't know if you were. Oh, okay. Even bigger snap. And based on the last two years, look at those coaches: Hubert Davis, John Shire, Kevin Keats. We can guess how they're going to attack this, right? If they're all put on their heels, they're all reacting, they all have to scramble now. We have a good idea of how they're going to handle it, right? Duke will promote from within. player transfers out, they're going to look to their high school recruits either this year, meaning the freshmen this year or next year's recruiting class, to play bigger minutes. Somebody transfers out, okay, cool. Mark Mitchell transfers out. Maybe it's Sean Stewart taking those minutes, a freshman that didn't play much. Maybe it's TJ Power, a freshman that didn't play much. Maybe it's part of the number one recruiting class incoming that'll take those minutes. I would not expect them to go get a second or third leading scorer out of the transfer portal. I think they can go get a veteran presence, like more of a role player.
Like they did with Ryan Young. Ryan Young was a transfer for 2 years.
But it doesn't appear as if they look for difference makers in the portal. They promote from within. UNC, Seth Trimble leaves, they have no problem looking for a difference maker in the portal. There's not a role that they don't feel comfortable filling in the portal with the acknowledgement that there are certain cornerstones that they have on their roster. Right? If RJ Davis comes in, there's probably not going to be a major shooting guard. If RJ Davis stays, I should say. There probably won't be a major shooting guard out of the portal. But if they can get maybe a taller, more 3-and-D style wing, absolutely. If they can get a post player, absolutely. They can use Seth Trimble's scholarship on whatever they need. Remember, last year at this time, the Harrison Ingram, the Cormac Ryan, like all of these guys were coming in from the portal.
Jalen Withers,
Paxton Wojcik, like all of these guys were portal players. And then you know what NC State's going to do.
Oh, yeah.
The transfer portal giveth, the transfer portal taketh away. They brought Cam Woods out of the portal. He's gone in less than a year later. They'll bring somebody else in. They know the way to the portal. Which do you like best? I think as a fan, you're tempted to say Duke's way is the best because then you just get to know players. Like, hey, I got to know that guy. I was excited when they recruited him, and now he gets his chance. I think from a success standpoint, it's hard to argue with really any of the three. They've all had some form of success in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
I think it's better to build like Duke.
It might be, because the analogy I said to you earlier was there's a lot of noise when it comes to the recruiting process, whether it's transfers or, hey, I didn't recruit this guy because I didn't expect, you know, one player on my team to all of a sudden hit the transfer portal, so I didn't recruit this person. Now I'm scrambling. The best way to handle the noise is when you already turn the volume down before it even starts. And that's what Duke is doing right now. Like, you know what? We're just going to get our own guys. We'll build from within. That way we don't have to worry about scrambling to get five guys out of the portal.
And you get to tell your young guys there's a chance.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's very difficult when somebody is unproven to bring in a transfer over them and then look at them in the eye. Because unproven doesn't mean not good. It means you didn't really get the chance.
Yeah.
Like, if Duke were to bring in a three-man to put over to replace Mark Mitchell, a four-man, three-and-a-half-man, right, that kind of forward combo spot, to replace Mark Mitchell, how do you then look at Sean Stewart and TJ Power, right? They didn't play very much this past year. And then what are they saying, right, to the people from their state's AAU programs, right? I don't know, man. I went there and they didn't really give me a shot and they brought in a transfer to take my job. The fact of the matter is this. It's not going anywhere, and how you handle it, both as a human and a coach, impacts your program moving forward. Right? Because the elite basketball world is a much smaller world than you think. Right? All the AAU teams, they talk. Chris Paul has an elite AAU program that he runs. I think he said something like 12 of them have played against him in the NBA. Like, it's a small world at the elite level. They talk. He has to tell G.G. Jackson, a guy that, like, he coached, to stop calling him coach when they're playing against each other on the NBA floor. The guy will score against him and be like, hey, coach, no, don't call me coach.
No, we're equals now.
Call me CP or a bad word.
It's like Mr. Paul.
Cliff Paul. State Farm. It's Cam Woods in the portal, for those of you that haven't just tuning in, an NC State player transferred in last year, transferring out this year. It is a conveyor belt on the portal in the ACC.
The volatility of college athletic rosters is just unprecedented.
I'm easily unprecedented because there's things that weren't available.
You didn't see it even 3 years ago. You weren't seeing this.
I don't think players knew how much option they had 3 years ago. The final AP poll, Associated Press poll, men's college basketball came out yesterday. A lot to celebrate and a lot to argue about. That's why rankings exist, right? That's why polls exist, to drum up conversation. Should we start with the angry? Should we start with the argumentative? Or should we start with the good and the great?
Yes.
We'll start with the good and the great.
Yeah.
This is the first time in AP poll history, going back to the 1940s when it began, that NC State, Duke, and UNC all finished in the top 10 of the poll.
Let's go.
We are, and we've said this, there's been a bunch of different indicators of this. We've said it for a while now. We are living, and if you're listening to this on the FM dial on your radio, you are living at the center of the college basketball world.
The capital of it, I like to say.
The capital. I like that also. The capital of the college basketball world. It is right here. Are there other teams that are good? Yes. I'm not saying you're the only, but we are the center, and that is awesome. As somebody that has lived in other places, I can tell you it's not like this everywhere. It's not like this anywhere, except for right here in the Triangle. 30% of the top 10 this year was within, 30 miles of where you're standing right now. That's awesome. Now, should we get to the argumentative? These are the details that people are going to disagree with.
Let's do it.
NC State was the lowest ranked of the three.
Ooh.
North Carolina men's basketball team is number 7 in the season's final AP poll. According to their website, this is the 39th time the AP has ranked the Tar Heels in the top 10 of the final poll. Duke is ranked 9th. In the final AP poll of the 2023-2024 season, this according to their website, marking the 40th. Duke fans will point out that it's one more than UNC. The 40th final top 10 ranking for the program all time. So UNC would say they're two spots above in the ranking. Duke would say this is one more top 10 than yours. Again, there's things to argue about. Meanwhile, State would just be down there like, you're telling us we're 10th? We were in the final four. We won the ACC championship. The NC State men's basketball team was voted 10th in the Associated Press poll. It is the highest ranking for the Pac in the Kevin Keats era and the highest ranking for the program since of any week, let alone a season-ending week, since November 12, 2012, when the Pac was ranked 6th. So it's been over a decade since they've been this high in the AP poll. This is where I want to emphasize something, because we did our podium earlier this week, okay? And we did our season-long podium, which is we ranked the seasons. It was a season-long ranking of the four teams from the state of North Carolina and the ACC. And I put NC State number 1. And social media, and I know you can't respond to every person that says something on social media, but there was enough chatter, and I had to go back and forth with a couple of them, that was calling me a homer for putting NC State number 1. So then the AP poll comes out and State is 3, and those people that were saying like, oh, you only love NC State, they're probably taking a bit of a victory lap, saying, see? UNC and Duke are over them in the AP poll. See? My response is this, and it's very simple. Duke and North Carolina would trade seasons with NC State if they could. I'm talking full season changes, not like, oh, I'll trade you my ACC tournament run for your ACC tournament. No, I'm talking about from game one to the final game, UNC and Duke would trade seasons. Right? You're not going like, we won more games in November through January, and I'm not giving that up, even if you want to give me your ACC championship and your Final Four run. Like, everyone is aware of which season was the best. Nobody is saying I wouldn't trade my wins in, early January for your 5-week run that captivated America. Nobody is saying that. So that's why I believe NC State was above it in our podium. However, the AP poll is an opinion, okay? And they have to ask themselves, the voters have to ask themselves who they think is the best team. If the AP poll just went to who finished the best in the NCAA tournament, they wouldn't need to vote. They would just look at the tournament and go, all right, these four are the best four. These two are the best two. These eight are the best eight. And they would just have that answer. They wouldn't need to vote. If the voters think UNC and Duke are better teams, and I can't fault them, like they'd probably be favored if they played tomorrow. Right? If Duke or UNC played NC State tomorrow, the sports books would probably have State as the underdog. Now, I disagree with it because I do believe that run matters and it should take into account and you should be ranked higher, but I can't fault them for it. So here's my very, very, I don't want to say boring, but very, very, kind of measured take on this. The AP poll has the right to put them in the order that they did. State fans should be absolutely furious, and UNC fans should be saying, see, we're the best in the triangle, and like everybody is doing exactly what they should be doing. This is why the rankings exist. There's no trophy given out for being the top AP poll team. There used to be. Like, football used to do it that way, right? Used to just be like, hey, we're national champions because the AP voted us and the coaches voted us. There used to be that. Now you settle it on the court. Like, State gets the banner for being in the Final Four. UNC doesn't get a banner for being the seventh-ranked team in the AP poll. The only reason these polls exist is to drum up controversy and argument and give message boards something to be mad at and give us something to talk about. They're doing their job. If you want to look at who has the best season, you don't need polls to tell you that. What you need to look at are trophies. What you need to look at are who played the furthest into March. What you need to look at is who won head-to-heads. Though, like, that is how you decide who had the best season. AP poll can maybe help you decide who's the best team, but how many times in sports do you have to learn the best team doesn't always win? And the winning team can't be debated. You can debate who's the best team. You can't debate who was the winning team. The scoreboard tells you that.